Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I am your host, the Aries Justin Yance, and I am here to change your view on professional wrestling. And I'm doing this solo. My co-host is not here, and so I'm doing a year-end review on 2021. This is something I wanted to do. We're going to go from January to December talking about the biggest stories that happened in 2021. So enjoy. So, let's start with January. The first thing that happens in January is Wrestle Kingdom 15, and Ibushi defeats Jay White. Ibushi defeated Naito the night before for the IWGP Heavyweight Champion and the Intercontinental Championship, which they were unifying. And Jay White wanted to take on whoever won that match. Jay White does not win. Ibushi defeats him. So Kota Ibushi is your double champion. But Jay White cuts an amazing promo afterwards. A promo that just was like, he was crying, he was upset, he was frustrated. This was supposed to be his night. It was an amazing promo. And unfortunately, it never really goes anywhere. And I just thought that was a shame. But that's one of my favorite moments that happened in January. The second thing that happens is everybody thinks that, a lot of people thought that Daniel Bryan was going to win the Royal Rumble. That was not to be. It was Edge winning the Royal Rumble, showing once again that he is Vince's boy. And it was a good Royal Rumble, but I just thought that was the wrong move. Roman defeats, Kevin Owens in a match that I don't even remember. See, I'm going off the top of my head of what my favorite things that happened, and the fact that I don't really remember them tells me that nothing really happened there. But yeah, Edge wins the Royal Rumble. I do remember that. The other thing that happened in January is in AEW, we had the Britt Baker versus the Thunder Rosa match. And that was a bloodbath. And this was the non-sanctioned match. And the two girls bled. And you've never seen two girls bleed like this. WWE would never let their women bleed. They don't even let their men bleed anymore. But to see the women bleed. And Britt Baker, she makes herself a star in this match. And Thunder Rosa wins the match. But Britt Baker, you know, she just goes on to become a huge star. And this is her year. Especially as a women's wrestler. Hats off to both of them. I just thought that was an amazing match, and it needs to be said right here that AEW is willing to let the women go out there and do what the men do. There were thumbtacks. There was everything you could see. There was blood. It was a great match, and it did it. Now, some people think this was the wrong way to go because it did kind of kill the female audience, but it positioned them in a different way, and it really gave the women's division in AEW something to really hang their hat on. So that's about it for January. Let's go into February. February, not really much do I remember happens there, and I'm not going to just go and look up a bunch of things. I'm going to go off of what came to my head that was really special, because that tells me whether they did a good job or not. The big thing that happened in February was we had Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan in a match where Edge turns heel, and it looked like Daniel Bryan had Roman Reigns beat, but Edge screwed him and ruined it. So Daniel Bryan does not defeat Roman Reigns, but everyone knew that that really meant that we were going with Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. So now let's talk about March. Now, March and April are kind of entwined here. The things that I remember were, The Fiend finally returns. The Fiend returns from being burned up, and he's got this new suit, but it doesn't look like he can move around a lot in it, that happens. Then The Fiend comes back at WrestleMania. He wrestles Randy Orton, and he loses. A lot of people are like, what's going on here? This is kind of out of left field. So that happens. So The Fiend loses. The other thing that happens is everybody thought, another thing I liked was it Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. They were in the main event at WrestleMania, and they had a great match. And Bianca Belair defeats Sasha Banks to catapult herself into, stardom. Roman Reigns defeats Daniel Bryan and Edge. He does the concerto on them, and he just drags them in. He stacks them, beats them. And this was kind of frustrating because I was just like, why did you kill the two guys that might have anything? That's my biggest problem with this Roman Reigns run throughout this year, is that he really doesn't beat anybody great. I mean, well, he beats guys great, but like it's just kind of a lull. I didn't like this. But yeah, so that was WrestleMania. The Bad Bunny stuff, it was okay. I thought this was a lackluster WrestleMania. Braun Strowman defeats Shane McMahon. It was just kind of there. The next thing that happens, we're in April. Daniel Bryan's contract expires, and he is defeated by Roman Reigns defeats Daniel Bryan, and giving him like really a credible defeat and something that he could actually hang his hat on. And then we find out that night that Daniel Bryan's contract had expired and he was not renewing, and that was interesting. Sakura in Genesis, we see Will Ospreay. April 4th defeats Kota Ibushi, cutting his title reign very short. I did not see that coming. Will Ospreay has been a heel, and now he is the top guy. And that was interesting. The next, so those are the things that happened in April. Let's move into May. May, Britt Baker wins the title from Hikaru Shida. The fans come back too. Double or Nothing is where Britt Baker wins the title. She's super over. The right move, and it was just it was brilliant. I didn't like the way she won it because I thought she didn't need to win it any with any help from Rebel, but that's how it happened. But it doesn't really taint the show. But now the fans finally start coming back. Dominion. Will Ospreay is hurt. There really isn't anything else I really remember in May. So June, Dominion, Shingo wins the vacated title at Dominion against Okada, and that catapults that gives Shingo his a big run. So that was it. July. We're finally back. We finally have fans back, and Money in the Bank happens. It's Roman Reigns versus Edge. Roman Edge kind of has him beat, but Seth Rollins screws him. But Roman Reigns beats him, and then the show is about to go off the air. Roman Reigns gets on the mic and he says, "Acknowledge me," and the Cena's music hits. Wow, huge reaction. Now I'm not a big Cena fan. But this reaction was amazing. And it was great. The fans reacted to him like a huge star. And that will lead us to SummerSlam. So now we go to August. It's Cena versus Roman. Everybody thinks that Cena versus Roman, Cena's going to be the guy to beat Roman. He does not. They do a stipulation at the end of the last the SmackDown before SummerSlam, stating that if Roman doesn't win, he's not gonna ever, wrestle again, type of thing. Same thing they kind of did with Bret Hart back in 1997. Other thing that happens on SummerSlam is Becky Lynch returns from pregnancy. And she defeats Bianca Belair, but she beats her in like a squash match and basically turns heel. And everybody's kind of like, why? I don't know. Nobody knows why that happens. Also, at then Cena versus Roman, they have a nice, kind of WWE style match. Roman beats him. And then I'm sitting there waiting and I'm like, somebody's coming out. I just know he's coming back. And who do you know? Because at this time, it was the word was pretty much out that Punk had returned. Yeah. Punk returns. How did I mess this up? Yeah, Punk returns in August. The whole reason this happens is because Punk returns. So yeah, basically, this Rampage. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina for the AEW Dynamite show, where they announced that the second Rampage is going to take place in the United Center. The whole arena is going CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk. Everybody thinks it's CM Punk. All the hints are there. They never say it. But then, yes, on the go-home show for SmackDown, that Rampage and the United Center, which they sold out, by the way, CM Punk returns, and it is one of the best things. To me, this is the best thing that happened that year in 2021. This is the pinnacle. The reaction he got was monumental. Heard unlike anything you've ever heard before. And the way they start the show off, they say, AEW, we have a big announcement here. Coming up, our big announcement. They pay into the crowd. They show the crowd. You hear this little kind of like bang boom thing. And then the first chords of Cult of Personality play. And the place just goes bonkers. And you hear it. And you hear it. And then he comes out. And he gets down. And he's almost in tears. And it's just an amazing moment. I can't explain what that moment felt like watching it. I had run home from a play that I was in, so I could go home and I could see this show. It was amazing. It was amazing. I was sitting in my little room and I was just cheering. I couldn't believe it. CM Punk had returned. CM Punk had returned, and it was the greatest thing they could have ever done. Nobody comes out and he says he's challenging Darby Allin at All Out. They could have. This was the best thing AEW's probably ever done. This was it. This was amazing. I cannot. If you have not seen this, go watch this moment. CM Punk returns. AEW. You can find it. It's got over 1 million views. It's just an amazing moment. And unlike anything we've ever seen before. And it was just magic. The only thing I can maybe compare it to, but this surpasses it, is when Jericho returned and showed up, debuted in WWE. But this was better. Just amazing. They just, wow. This is my favorite moment of 2021. So that was it. So at SummerSlam, now we're going into SummerSlam. Cena loses to Roman Reigns. And you know WWE has their response. They bring back Becky Lynch. Well, who else is coming back? I'm thinking, I'm sitting there, I'm going, I know he's here. Like whenever I'm watching, I always have that feeling that man is looming. And the music hits, it's Brock Lesnar. And not only does he come back with a new look, he's got this ponytail. He looks like he's wearing like what Dean Ambrose wears, with like a flannel shirt. He just marches to the ring, and it's on. And has the stare down with Roman, and it's it's great. And then afterwards, he beats the crap out of Cena. That was a great return. I like that. Nowhere near what CM Punk was. So, the other thing that happens in, I believe it's in August. Might have been into September. I'm going off of it. We have Walter versus Dragunov. And if you've ever seen the Dragunov versus Walter match that they had, it's just brutal. Oh man, Walter, he is the only guy I really want to see face Brock Lesnar. The way he wrestles is like a beast, and he just open palm. They just beat the crap out of each other. And so this was the rematch, and this was at NXT TakeOver. Yeah, really the last TakeOver before the new regime sets in. But Dragunov beats Walter. And just one of the most amazing matches you'll see. Took everything and finally ends Walter's streak. Amazing. Amazing match. That might be my favorite match of 2021. Just, I was on my feet. Just amazing. Then we go to September. The big thing that happens here is All Out. Oh, wait, I forgot. See, there's so much stuff that has happened. July 17th, I forgot to mention this. Slammiversary happens. Jay White returns. Well, he returns to, I don't know if you call it return. He confronts Kenny Omega. The leader of the Bullet Club confronts the leader of the Elite. Now, unfortunately, this goes nowhere, so it's not really great, but Jay White coming was just awesome. That was probably the best thing Impact Wrestling has done. But yeah, it doesn't lead to anything, so I don't really have much good things to say about that. So that's probably why I don't really remember it very well. Then we go to September. And the only real big thing here is All Out, which to me is the best pay-per-view AEW's ever done. The match between the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros, amazing. Some people don't like it. Some people thought it was gimmicky. I was in a movie theater with a bunch of people. Everybody was on their feet. It was just amazing. It was magic, and it was the right team to finally defeat the Young Bucks. And it was in a cage, and it was glorious. Britt Baker faced, I believe, Chris Statlander. They had a pretty good match. Punk versus CM Punk in his first match back. Versus Darby Allin. He put over Darby really well, but Punk wins in the end. It's a really good match. Not my favorite, but pretty good. Then we had Christian versus Kenny Omega. And this was kind of like the return of the Best Bouts machine, Kenny Omega. It was the way he was moving was great, but Christian couldn't keep up with him. But it's a good match nonetheless. And Omega retains the title. So they're out there having the Young Bucks are out there. Everybody's out there. They're all celebrating. And then who do we hear with the mics go out? Who do we hear? The boom. It's Adam Cole, who had just like been released a week ago. And here he comes down and he looks like that. And Jungle Boy's in the ring to help. He's coming and he super kicks him. And he gets on the mic and he says, "Story time, boys and girls. It's story time," which he used to always do. He never did that in NXT. I don't know why. And he says, and then Omega gets on there and says, "Now I wish you on adieu, good night, and what do we hear but Valkyrie, the Rise of Valkyrie sound, and who is it? It's Bryan Danielson, the former Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson has shown up in AEW, and it was amazing. He just shows up, gets in his face, and it's amazing, amazing, amazing. Like the best. That was like, that's like the best debut right under CM Punk. Just amazing. Then Brock Lesnar. And then, well, you could say Cena and then maybe Brock Lesnar, but those two just, wow, that 1-2 punch was great. And he gets in the ring and and he like lays him out and you've got, it was just, whoa, magic. Then we got the next, and then we have in New York, AEW finally makes its way to New York. And it's Danielson and Omega, the AEW Dynamite. Right before that, they pretty much announced this stacked card, and it's a main event stacked card. I mean, CM Punk wrestling. He wrestles Powerhouse Hobbs. Not a great, great match, but just to see him, CM Punk, he's on Rampage. You got Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega, and they have a 30-minute draw, and it's amazing. Just an amazing match. Like, probably that might be my favorite match. Yeah, that's that. Sorry. I know I can't do this, but I'm shooting off the cuff here. Ryan Danielson versus Omega. That's my favorite match. Second, Dragunov. And then third, I would say Kutobushi versus Jay White. Fourth, Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros. Just, this was just amazing. Wow. New York just, they got the show. They got a pay-per-view. They got a pay-per-view quality show. And it was just unheard of. And Bryan Danielson showed that he's not going to wrestle like his WWE character of Daniel Bryan. He's going to wrestle like Bryan Danielson. And we got to see the cattle mutilation. We got to see all these awesome things. It was just amazing. And then you see, as the weeks go on, Bryan Danielson really changing up his style and being, you know, he's going to be the submission guy who can beat you with so many, with 100 different moves. He beats Eddie Kingston later on in the month, October. I'm not sure exactly when this happens, but it may be in November. October, I got to go to a lot of shows in AEW. I got to see Minoru Suzuki versus Bryan Danielson, and that was just magic. That was an amazing match too. But Moxley decides to check into rehab. He had just released his book. He had really reinvented his character, just coming out and just killing guys really fast. He was probably going to win the tournament. And Moxley checks into rehab for alcohol. That was sad, but I'm glad he was able to do it. The other thing that is, this takes us into November. Saudi Arabia show. This is probably the best Saudi Arabia show WWE ever did. They bring in the Hell in a Cell, Edge versus Seth Rollins. Really good match. Edge defeats Seth Rollins. Really good stuff here. We get the Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, the first one. A lot of playing around here. Paul Heyman throws the belt into the ring, and you're wondering who he's doing it. But the Usos get involved, and Roman ends up beating Brock Lesnar. It was kind of annoying. I didn't like this that. But to see Brock Lesnar back and to see him just, you know, reinvent himself is awesome. We have Omega. It's Hangman comes back, Hangman Page, and it's Hangman Page versus Omega at Full Gear, and we see Omega lose to Hangman Page in a pretty good match. I didn't like this match, but a lot of people love this match and think it's amazing, so, you know, to each its own. Omega loses, does the job to Hangman, which I predicted a whole year ago that Hangman was going to be the guy to beat Omega, but I did not anticipate that Bryan Danielson was going to come in, so I thought he should have ran through Omega. We should have had Omega versus Danielson, Omega versus Punk, but it sounds like he was really hurt and he had to drop that belt soon. So for that, you know, what can you do? Things have to happen. So, yeah, Danielson right after that turns heel. In December, there's no WWE pay-per-view this first time. Brock becomes the number one contender and really just becomes like probably the most entertaining character on their show. Surpassing Roman Reigns, in my opinion, as entertaining. So Roman Reigns just physically does the same thing, and I'm kind of sick of this run, because it's just like, how long is he going to hold this title forever? If you don't have somebody beat him, I don't know. I think it's kind of lame. Then we have, so Omega is on the shelf. And then we have Danielson versus Hangman Page. They have an amazing match, which ends in they do an hour long draw, and it's actually that's a great match too. Although I like the Omega versus versus Danielson better, but yeah, Danielson versus Page, really good match. Looks like Page is about to win, but there's not enough of count, and Danielson and Hangman, you know, go on. This was a really interesting year. I would say this was a year for returns and debuts. AEW really came into its own. I feel like they've lost a little bit of something since all that star power came in. But WWE really lost something through it. They kind of get it back when Cena comes back. Then they lose it again, and then when Brock comes back, it kind of gets there. Brock is their best asset, as far as I'm concerned. And then the thing that happens the first day of 2022, Brock Lesnar wins the WWE title in a five-way match. So they're off to the races. All I know is AEW needs to do something really special this year to really get back what they found in August and September, and I don't think they have. I think they've kind of lost their way with that. Yeah, this should be an interesting year. I'd like to see Danielson win the world title. I think CM Punk will probably be the man to defeat Hangman Page. Unless they're going to have him go through them, and then MJF gets it. MJF could be the guy that get to defeat Hangman Adam Page. I mean, there's a lot of things they can do. I would like to see Bray Wyatt. Oh, yeah. That was another thing that happened over the year. Bray Wyatt is... he's released in... I believe he's released in July, or is it August? And it kind of comes out of nowhere. And I've got to believe he's on his way to AEW. I mean, otherwise I don't know what he's doing. It has to be AEW. And I think Bray Wyatt probably shows up maybe in March. Maybe shows up earlier than that. But I think Bray Wyatt shows up in AEW. That's my prediction. I think this is the year where AEW can really, you know, start competing with WWE if they are smart. Some people are turned off by it. My partner doesn't really like what AEW is doing at all. I've got more of a wait and see approach, but we shall see. But a really interesting year, 2021 was. Also, WWE released 96 guys. People are asking for their releases left and right. At the time of doing this, Mustafa Ali has just requested his release. Tony Storm requested a release and got it granted. I mean, so many things are happening. It's an interesting time to be a professional wrestling fan, and let's see where it goes. I want to say thank you for listening, as always. And the truth shall set you free.